One of my first memories being in a band, early doors, like must have been 10 or 11, and this covers band that I was in, we covered Come Together, and I cried afterwards because I forgot the lyrics.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was like, it's actually like a big moment for me in terms of like my performing journey.
Yeah.
I was like getting comforted by my dad.
Oh, mate, that's so sad.
I was like, I was so, you feel so vulnerable at the, like in front of people when you forget words. Now I don't care. Because whatever.
I'm joined by the Amazons. How are you guys?
What up?
Very good. A little bit sniffly.
No, we're riddled with cold, my friend.
Riddled with lurgy and plague.
Yeah. Blame our drummer and 9 hours in a van for that.
Well, you know what? We're going to have a fantastic half hour talking about music. Talking about your music, talking about new music.
What we like to do.
And we're going to try to get through as much as possible. But firstly, what have you guys been up to? What have the Amazons been up to for those who don't know?
We've most recently just come off a little date in Dundee.
Yeah, Australia. Yep. Did 3 shows in Oz, first time there. Lovely,
Brisbane,
lovely country.
Melbourne, Sydney, Sidders.
Sidders.
which was a lot of fun. And then we took a little break. I went to LA for a couple of weeks to do some writing. And I don't know what everyone else did.
I went to Czech Republic, stayed in a little strange communist village.
Not that we can.
Actually,
very different holidays. Czech Republic and LA.
So different. And then different. Joe, our drummer, went to Mallorca for a wedding. So
it was Marbella. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's on the only way is Essex side of things.
Oh, yeah. When you go to, like, let's say Australia to perform your music, do you get surprised or impressed at how your music has travelled to literally the other side of the world?
Mate, it blows my mind.
Yeah, it's insane.
You know what really blew my mind? When we took 12 hours to get to Hong Kong, right? And then you're like walking around during your layover and everything's like in Chinese, I guess.
Yeah.
It's all very Asian and it kind of really reminded me when we did some touring over there and you're like, wow. And then you do another 12 hours to get to Brisbane and you come out and it's just like England, but hot. It was so weird to get your head around how far away we were.
It's like full circle.
Yeah, it's like double the distance to Hong Kong and Hong Kong just feels so far away. And then it's even crazier when you've got people at the front after like these gigs, like singing your lyrics and kind of you announcing a song like, oh, this, you know, this song's called Black Magic or whatever. And they're like, applauding it because they know it, but you know, internet. So
yeah, I was in Staines last night and I had a very similar feeling actually.
Oh really?
And I was like, God, we're not at home anymore.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
Staines, long way from home, guys.
Staines is another whole different ball game compared to any place we've been.
Shall we get on to some new music?
Yes, let's do that. Yeah.
So the first one we're going to talk about is Noel Gallagher. He's released a brand new EP called This Is The Place EP.
Yeah.
It's got a song in it called Evil Flower.
Evil?
Yes. So, Matt, do you want to lead on this?
I had a couple of listens through the Noel Gallagher track. It was great. It's kind of like he's challenging himself with the production and the arrangement of his new music a lot more than I guess he did in the 90s. I think the thing that they had such a strong sound in Oasis, and it looks like in the last couple of releases he's really trying to get away from that because I guess he's sitting on a pile of money, he just doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually probably quite liberating for him. And actually when you've been doing it for as long as he has, you're less precious about every release. I think when you start off you want every release to be as vital and as like meaningful as possible, but you know, he's probably someone who's realised that, kind of done all the commercial work that he's needed to do, really. He's probably one of the best British songwriters of the last couple of decades, so, and he, more than anyone, knows that.
Definitely,
so, yes. So if there's any time to take risks and do something a little bit different, it's probably now.
Yeah.
So, fair play, cool, much more interesting.
You said something, the way you described what he'd done to the music, as like he'd lost his mind or something, but in like a really good way.
Of course, yes. Yeah, exactly. He sounds free. And you know what? He sounds like he's much more, I don't know, he's probably more receptive and more willing to, and more enthusiastic to collaborate with other people.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Is that a request from you to Noel Gallagher?
No.
No, okay.
No, I love Noel Gallagher. I don't see him as the co-writing type, if I'm honest.
Let's,
I'll nick a chorus. Yeah, if he wants. I'm sure he's got a lot of those bad boys lying around that he doesn't need. Noel, I'll have one of your choruses.
Foles have released a new song as well, Into the Surf.
Yeah. I think they're probably gearing up for their second release of the year.
Yeah.
They were planning to do two albums, aren't they? Yeah.
It's pretty classic Foles in that it's it feels very, I don't know, with Foles they always kind of, they hit you in the gut with a couple of tracks and then they kind of take their time with others. I guess it sounds like they like to experiment with a lot of atmospherics and stuff, and that's kind of comes true in this track. I mean, I liked it. Yeah, I did like it. It just passed me by a little bit. But you know what? Some of these things, that's just from a first listen. And I think with Foles especially is that the more time you invest in, the more you're going to get out.
I like the story of how Yanis got to write some of these songs for this. Well, for the last release. It probably carries on to this one as well. But he was, what I've heard is he was sick of city life and he really wanted to get away. So he removed himself and went to like this tiny island in Greece. Right. And he like stayed on like a really orthodox, Greek orthodox, like convent.
Okay.
I think this is right. And
he became a Greek nun.
And he just basically didn't talk to anyone for the entirety of the writing process and completely just turned off all communication and lived on this tiny little island.
I like the sound of that.
It does sound quite good and it's quite romantic in some ways, but also quite pretty challenging in others.
Yeah, cool. Mm. I'm going to do that.
You guys mentioned this is going to be their second album of the year.
Yeah.
What do you think about this whole thing that obviously the expectation of artists and bands nowadays is that you're
definitely not a new concept. Yeah. I mean, we listen to a lot of bands and acts from the 70s and 60s, and you know, the Beatles, who will I think we're going to talk about
throwing out albums every 12 months.
I think was Abbey Road in the same year as something else?
No, they calmed down a little bit. They're only doing an album a year.
But as I say, it's not a completely abstract concept. Lots of bands back then in the day, because they weren't touring as much, I suppose, so they can concentrate fully on being in the studio and just writing music. And
It's cool to see folks do that.
Yeah, it's good.
Do you think it's almost becoming a requirement, though, for a band to release more music or more singles over like a longer period?
Depends where you are in your career, I think.
Depends how good the music is, really.
Yeah.
You put out some rubbish and, you know, pretty quickly and okay, nothing.
That's true.
About, like, how good the music is, really.
On just on that releasing an album a year thing, another slightly different reference, One Direction, in their peak releasing album.
Right.
Sure. As well, so. Yeah. Just keep the machine well.
I watched the documentary on them recently, actually. It's actually quite interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I never really liked their music at all, but, you know, you have to appreciate the process of them being the biggest boy band of all time. So, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the final song we're going to talk about in this section is Lewis Capaldi. So he has released the Bruises EP. Bruises was one of his first songs he released, and now they're returning to it as a single. And on this EP, he's released an orchestral version of the track as well, which is really, really cool. I'm interested, though, your thoughts on, like, not so much on Lewis Capaldi himself, because everybody's got their own opinions, and he's blown up, so obviously a lot of people like him, but on, like, the explosion of Lewis Capaldi this year.
I think people just... I mean, it just kind of shows how important social media is.
Yeah.
And he's someone that knows it and he can really express himself on that medium. I know, well, I kind of knew about him because we've written with similar people. And that's how I kind of heard about him when he released a song called Grace. Now I remember what really turned me on to him was the video for Grace.
When he's dancing in that club.
Yeah, I was with the kind of co-writer of it, and we were just talking. He was like, "Oh, I'm working with this guy, Lewis. You got to see the new video. It's kind of hilarious."
Yeah,
and it's cool. He's a good guy. When we were at Transmit Festival, there was an after party that we were DJing at, and he had like a separate room, and we kind of carried on into that. And he was having his own kind of like separate after party thing. He had this bottle of Buckfast.
Okay.
And with like the kind of the little nozzle thing that you have on the top.
Right, that you're supposed to like do shots with and whatever.
Yeah. And I was like, "Oh, Lewis, I've never had Buckfast before." And he was like, "Get on your knees." and I was like, "Okay." And then I like put my arms out and opened my mouth and he was like pouring Buckfast into my
It's like a weird
into my mouth.
Ritual.
Yeah, I've got a video of it. It's really cool. It's like I'm being anointed a like honorary Scott Tish person.
Okay. Yeah.
He was like 19 people, but like kind of just making people like Scottish for the night by swilling their mouths out with Buckfast tonic wine.
It's quite an odd thing to watch. Well, everyone didn't really know what to make of it.
We love Lewis.
Yes.
For that reason, if that was the only reason, I would, then that's enough, I think.
Yeah, amazing. Well, we're going to go on to 5 songs in 100 seconds shortly. I want to talk about your album Future Dust, which came out earlier this year.
Yep.
Yeah. It was like a massive follow-up album as well for you guys. Was there pressure going into Future Dust? Because especially your first album and your your first few releases especially were massive.
Not really externally. Because I think when you're making the album and you're writing stuff, it's usually your world is really just you guys in a room with our producer, Catherine Marks. And that's your world, and you don't really have any kind of... I didn't feel like we had to prove anything to anyone. We had success with the first record, but I felt there was still space to grow. I don't think that we were tackling a kind of untamable beast of success, like maybe some of our peers have done with like hugely successful debut albums.
Yeah.
I thought we were just kind of carrying down the road, carrying on with what we were doing and just naturally evolving. We didn't have to think too hard about it because, you know, since we... recorded the album back in 2016, 2 years have passed, and not just any 2 years, two very significant years in our lives in terms of the amount of change that's happening. And we've always been trying to be as open as possible to, as many influences as possible. And, the places we went to and the things that we did, you can't kind of unsee these things. So we kind of naturally grew as people anyway. So that kind of progression, I felt, was just handled by just being naturally different people than we were when we did the first album, really.
Yeah.
I
remember when Stay With Me came out, it must have not been out for very long when I found it because some YouTube channel uploaded it.
Sure.
And I saw it on there. And that was like, those first three singles from you guys, this is going back to 2015, 2016.
Yeah, right.
Were all like, in my opinion, and I'm not just saying this because you were in the room, it showed a consistency
amongst you guys
that these were three like incredible songs released by the same band. And that was like a big thing because I don't know that there's a phrase for it that I've completely forgotten what it is, but it's like when a new artist or new band release three songs and they're all like fantastic, how rare that is. Cause usually there's like a progression or there's, one of them doesn't quite hit right.
Yeah.
And that isn't what happened with you guys. Those first three singles and then leading to that first album.
Yeah.
So I guess when I was talking about like pressure, but you guys probably won't see that so much. That first album, when that came out, I was like, almost like, how the hell are they going to follow up on this? Because musically it was so good. Yeah. Future Dust is fantastic as well. I'm not powering off your second album. But to me, the Amazons has always been a mark of quality.
Oh, thank you, mate. That's very nice.
When you think about like the sound and the vision for the band, what are the things that you're thinking and looking at?
I think we love being a good live band for sure.
Yeah.
I think we take our live show very, very seriously. We spend a lot of time playing together. We have a little rehearsal room in Reading that we still go to. And then when we were leading up to touring, we're there 3 times a week for, five hours at a time. And we rehearse the set constantly. We love pulling out weird and wacky things on a whim, like covers and extended jams. Things that, are just fun to do when we're playing live.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's something when you think about something all the time, you just don't know.
Yeah.
Because I think about it all the time. Like our place in it. Yeah. Like in like music and rock and roll, especially. 60 years on from kind of like, if you kind of put a marker on like rock and roll being starting like 1955 or whatever, then we're kind of like, I just think about our place in it all the time. We just want to be a good rock and roll band, really. I guess we place value on certain things that I don't know people do anymore. Live instrumentation and kind of honesty to an extent. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to navigate, to be fair. But I mean, you're going down the wrong path if you're thinking about that stuff that I'm thinking about.
Also, you guys are in it.
Exactly.
So I guess there's your perspective's going to be very different to anybody else's.
Oh, dude, that's it, really. And I would say that's like the story of the second album we kept on saying when we were making it, like, we're pretty sure this is good. I really like this, but we don't have any time for perspective.
Yeah.
With the first record, we were sitting on some of these songs for 3 or 4 years, so you kind of, you just know, you've got it in your back pocket. Yeah. I know this is a good song because we're still playing it 4 years later.
Yeah.
Whilst everything on the second album was very much like done within this like really 1 year period, 2018, writing and recording. Such an intense experience, but then out of that grows kind of like themes lyrically and sonically that I don't think we had on the first record. So I don't know, what was the question again?
I don't know.
No, yeah, me either. Yeah, I mean, we could talk about this for hours. Yeah. Just like meditating on what it means to be a rock and roll band, that's for sure.
But let's not do that, because
it's a very loaded question.
Yeah,
we could go on for hours.
Yeah.
We could go on for hours. No, I'm just looking at you when you're going to speak.
Let's go on to 5 songs in 100 seconds. Thanks. 5 songs in 100 seconds. So I'm going to put 1:40 on the clock. Okay. So the first song is this new song, Shade, with Zayn, called Trampoline, which is a fantastic song.
Amazing.
Fantastic. I
absolutely love it. The Zayn collaboration is new.
Yeah, cool.
It came out yesterday, the Zayn bit.
Before and then Zayn jumped on it because he loved it so much?
That's the story.
Hey, that's the mark of a good song.
That's the mark of a good song.
When kind Zayn of like almost lullaby-esque in terms of its melody. It's kind of genius, isn't it?
The next song, Sam Smith and Renee Zellweger, which is released that, like, a collaboration which I've not thought of.
What's the film?
Is this a film? For a film?
Judy.
Right, okay.
Which is about Judy Garland.
Right.
During her, like... It's not the Wizard of Oz vibes. It's like a few decades past her.
Right.
So she's not necessarily in her prime anymore, but she's not in terms of that yet.
Cool. That sounds like a great story.
Yeah.
And it's nothing like Bridget Jones' Diary.
Oh, gosh. Okay, perfect. I can't imagine it will be.
But the collaboration's fantastic. There's this group called Now United that I just wanted to touch on, but it's a really fun concept.
Okay.
Which is all of the members are from different continents and different countries.
Wow.
And it's one of the most like global groups ever, and they're sponsored by Pepsi.
Oh my goodness.
They're cavities.
Wow.
And then the last two, Zed and Kalani have a new song, which is worth a note as well.
Where was Kalani from? What was her group?
Kalani is not from a group.
I thought she was from Fifth Harmony.
Oh, no.
Oh, is that someone else? Oh, gosh.
That's Normani.
Oh, you're kidding me?
Who released a great song the other day.
Normani Kalani.
Motivation.
It's fantastic.
Fantastic. Video, great.
And then the Japanese House with... Well, that was 100 seconds.
Oh, we didn't even do it.
Was a good song.
We've done 2 songs in 100 seconds before, so this was actually a good attempt. And the last one was the Japanese House of Something Has to Change, which somebody said that Matt Healy said that they cried. Was it you?
I was looking at his Instagram story this morning, and he was like, this is a new song from Japanese House. I cried listening to
it.
I mean, I didn't, because I was happy because it was good. No, I liked it.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's go on to a couple more songs that were released today. Both of these by people who you guys are friends with. Should we go Love, Fame, Tragedy first? This one's called Pills.
Yeah, it's Love, Fame, Tragedy is basically the Merv, the lead singer of the Wombats. We wrote together like 18 months ago, or maybe 2 years ago. Just been pals ever since, really. He's a really cool guy. And I think he was kind of talking about maybe starting something up on his own. It was under a slightly different name at the time. And I'm glad he picked this.
You know. It's a good name.
Yeah, it's, and I think I've been seeing he's been doing some gigs in the States and over here as well. I think Murph's always been quite a connected person, and he's actually like he's really that to his advantage with this project. He's one of the last songs was he kind of involved Gus from Ultra, on a track, and it's cool. I like the music a lot.
Brilliant. And then the last one is Puma Rosa with I See You. I saw Puma Rosa, was it called The Great Escape, like 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
We played with them this year, actually, at The Great Escape.
Yeah.
At this, like, Fiction Records kind of...
Yeah,
I remember that.
It was cool. They're crazy, man. They're a really cool band. They're so strong in their convictions, and they're so... Yeah. They've got a really clear vision, and I think it's really exciting.
That's what I was actually going to say when I saw them. They're a band who are very sure of... like their musical direction and who they are and what bring in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite a hypnotic show. You get very drawn in and invested in the songs.
Yeah.
It's great stuff, yeah.
And then the final one we're going to talk about is not a new album at all, actually. It's 50 years old this week. Yep. It's Abbey Road by the Beatles.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, I was going to say massive album. That's probably understating it a little bit.
A little bit.
Do you guys have like a favourite song, whether it's from Abbey Road or the Beatles?
It's hard to say. There's so many. I mean, I do love I Want You, She's So Heavy.
Yeah.
That song is unbelievably good.
The entire to the second side, which I guess doesn't apply anymore in Spotify.
Yeah, but the
like
whole...
Basically, in terms the last like melody.
Yeah.
Medley.
Medley of like 5-6 songs, is it?
Never Give Me Your Money, Golden Slumbers, Came Through the Bathroom Window.
Sun King, oh, is that one?
Yeah, Sun King, because Polythene? Here Comes the Sun is a good song. I mean, Something, Come Together, Octopus's Garden. Maxwell, Silverhammer.
I hate that song. That is one song I do not. I skip it.
Lennon called Paul's grandma music. No one liked Maxwell, Silverhammer.
Apart from Paul.
I really like Oh Darling.
Oh yeah, that's a great song.
There's just some moments where I think it's on the organ, like, not an organ. Sorry, it's like on some kind of keys, Rhodes or something like that, where it's like Oh Darling, and it's like bam, but like that. First, like, bam, like, he's got the bass, which is, like, kind of low as hell, because it's, like, this Hofner bass, and it's, like, obviously, kind of just...
Dead low, sound, yeah.
Dead. And then he's got this another, like, key, just, like, even... like
oh, really?
Even lower. It's, like, heavy. Yeah. But, like, the... If you've got, like, the right...
It's like a sub before a sub.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah. It's kind of like that. It's really cool.
I think production on Come Together is, like...
Amazing.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
The drums sound so good. It's like Ringo's not even playing it, but like in a good, in like a the just sound of it is wicked.
Yeah, and it's like all the shh and all the little tiny little bits.
Yeah, he says like "shoot me" or something.
Yeah, something like that. It's amazing. Yeah,
it's incredible. One of my first memories being in a band, Early Doors. Like, must have been 10 or 11, and this covers band that I was in. We covered "Come Together." And I cried afterwards because I forgot the lyrics.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was like, it's actually like a big moment for me in terms of like my performing journey.
Yeah.
I was like getting comforted by my dad.
Oh, mate, that's so sad.
I was like, you feel so vulnerable at the, like in front of people when you forget words. Now I don't care. Because whatever. But I think I was reading this really good article about whether Abbey Road, like the thing with the Beatles is that it's actually because their discography was so condensed and concise over like 7-year period, even though they released a huge amount of albums, it's almost like everyone can have an opinion on it, as opposed to a Rolling Stones or a Bob Dylan who've had really long careers and had lots of albums, where if someone talks about Bob Dylan or like the Stones in a pub or whatever, where do you begin? Like, it's just so many albums and stuff. So with the Beatles, it's like a much more manageable, everyone can have an opinion on what your favourite Beatles album is.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And it was a really interesting article about how people's favourite, like different generations have different favourites. So currently, it's Abbey Road, like in the kind of time of streaming and stuff, like the millennials like ourselves, like really like Abbey Road for some reason.
Yeah.
But if you go back to the Britpop kind of Oasis period, like everyone was vibing off Revolver.
Okay.
And then the baby boomers, who the Beatles are their band, Sgt. Pepper's was always the thing.
Yeah.
Everyone's heard that story. The morning Sgt. Pepper's came out, everyone, you could walk down the street and everyone was listening to it on their
coming out their windows
and all this stuff, which I think is really interesting. And I think Abbey Road probably, it's an amazing album, probably my favourite album, because they're in the midst of breaking up. It's the last album that they kind of record. Obviously, Let It Be came out afterwards, but Abbey Road was the last thing they recorded. They're literally about to break up. They kind of can't. They're sick of each other, and they make the nicest, warmest, happiest album of their career.
Yeah.
I love it, and I'm a millennial man. I love Abbey Road.
I am, for a really long time, thought that the Beatles were hugely overrated. And then I spent a weekend in Vegas and saw their show, their Cirque du Soleil show.
Oh, right.
And, like, loved them.
Yeah.
So... a weekend in Vegas has probably never done that to someone before.
No, it came back to Beatles.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of your music. Your next single is called Fuzzy Treat, off of the album.
Fuzzy Tree.
Fuzzy Tree.
Yes.
Off of the album.
It doesn't make sense, don't worry.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, in a way, fuzzy treats made more sense to me in my head.
Fuzzy treats.
It sounds
because
a bit weird.
Because that's just like an old treat that you've left on the table for a few days too long and it's gone fuzzy.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So just that's more of a nut, actually. But Fuzzy Tree, tell me like about the song. Tell me what your plans are.
Fuzzy Tree and 25, which was the last single, definitely represented to us a kind of respite from the slog that was the rest of the album in terms of a lot of the album featured us was kind of considered. And we put up, we write usually, typically quite slowly. Except from Fuzzy Tree, which was done really in an afternoon.
Yeah.
It was all, I think, our favourite songs turned out to be the ones that were kind of created at the time really quickly and basically judged on instinct. I think the best rock and roll is kind of instinctive. Yeah. And Fuzzy Tree has this kind of natural energy melodically and with how we were playing it. You know, it's just what we were grooving off in the rehearsal room, really. It's a lot of fun to play live. I mean, honestly, the lyrics are 90% meaningless and I kind of knocked them into shape and kind of got them kind of coherent. But I mean, we were just talking about Come Together and like the Beatles and stuff. And like, if you want meaningless nothing,
lyrics,
but
yeah.
Yeah, then go with them. And but there's a charm to it.
I also think though, actually,
I think it's good.
I tend to think that increasingly people listen to music based on feeling rather than and like anything else. Like if we look at, people tend to be less boxed into genres nowadays.
And yeah, most definitely.
Culture is just about how a song makes you feel.
Yeah.
So that's not to undermine the importance of lyrics and telling a story.
Of course.
But there's, I think it means that now more than ever, almost there's a place for songs that just, almost like the Noel Gallagher stuff, like that just expresses a feeling rather than a story in itself.
Definitely. And I mean, the lyrics are definitely, you know, they're coherent and they're open enough and they do have some meaning. For people to interpret and you know, put whatever you know way they look at life and kind of let it manifest into that. I think, but you know what, like a lot of this album is really personal and has a lot of meaning. Sometimes it's just nice to just let your hair down and rock out and just kind
good
of talk
bang.
Some nonsense, man.
Yeah, definitely.
I just there's one line that goes, "Paint it black, Cadillac." Really, that's me in the vocal booth like, what do you want to do?
Yeah, well,
just put it down and sing it, and it just sounded cool and we were like, cool.
What does "Hey Panini, why are you such a meanie?"
Yeah, yes. Listen, man. Yeah,
what does that mean?
Yeah.
Come on,
we were going to cover that song for Live Lounge, but that line
you couldn't give it straight
it
face.
Was too good.
Yeah. Well, I, you know what, we could have an entire episode just talking about Lil Nas X.
Oh, of course. Yeah, invite us back and we'll do a whole 2-hour session.
Yeah. Yeah, Lil Nas X, man.
Yeah. Well, the Amazons, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks, man.